south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. As luck would have it, I spent this New Year's Eve in an upscale Latin neighborhood, one of those guarded communities, with the odd big black bulletproof SUVs scattered here and there, with their attendant 8th grade educated pot-bellied bodyguards leaning on nearby fences and trees, trying to look cool in their knockoff Ray-Bans and earbuds that certainly aren't connected to anything. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing I recently found out about these half-wit bodyguards. Nearly 100% of these guys wears lifts in his shoes and or actually buys shoes that have about an inch or so lift built into them. Down here, the shoe lift business is really flourishing, though not mentioned at all in polite conversation. And why's that? The average Latin guy is around 5'4" and very, very sensitive about it. It's all about self-esteem and very touchy, and you know that because every guy lies about his height. Short guys, especially short guy social climbers here, wear lifts. In fact, if you look in the classified ads in the big newspapers, you'll see that when they advertise for bodyguards, they always have a height requirement. Even so, 4 foot nothing guys like Danny DeVito size still show up at these interviews with lifts, of course. But where was I now? Oh yeah, hanging out in a wealthy neighborhood on New Year's Eve. So we have those telltale bulletproof SUVs scattered here and there and the Danny DeVito bodyguards. And because this is the holiday season, some houses are way over the top with the Christmas lights and decorations. Now, do note that on New Year's Eve in Latin America, strange things can happen. What you'll find throughout Latin America, even in these upscale neighborhoods, is that right at midnight, New Year's Eve, everyone in every household in the neighborhood steps out the front door and onto the street and gets ready for that midnight countdown. And the kids and adults alike, even ladies, let off ungodly amounts of fireworks because, you know, they're all legal down here, and I guess even if they weren't, the tradition's so strong they'd do it anyway. In fact, in some of the lower-end neighborhoods, and in neighborhoods us gringos fear to tread, guys walk outside at midnight and start blowing their guns off in the air. Now, they're not actually aiming at anything. It's just kind of like a bar fight in a John Wayne movie. Everybody kind of shoots at the ceiling. But thankfully, like I said, those are in the neighborhoods us gringos strive to avoid. Let's be straight about this. No one's going to shoot at you, but the problem is what goes up must come down, right? In fact, I remember a holiday season a while back when I was in Honduras, or was it Nicaragua? I can't remember. Anyway, there was a television commercial where a cop was warning people, guys of course, not to fire their guns in the air in celebration. And you know, it's ads like that that really shake you up when you first get down here. And why wouldn't they, right? But back to my New Year's Eve story. So after about 12:15 in the a.m., after the explosions have kind of quieted down and people sort of mosey back into the house, that's when people kind of huddle around and go through their New Year's resolutions out loud. And as for me, I just sat there and listened. I ended up in the kitchen and I just happened to be within the earshot of a couple of ladies talking about New Year's and their New Year's resolutions, etc. And you know, in some respects, things aren't as different down here as they might seem. For example, practically every single woman in that group was overweight a bit. That's one of the classic symptoms of recent affluence, right? So practically every single one of them said she was going to exercise more, eat right, and lose a little weight this year. Where have we heard that before? Nothing unusual about that, but I will tell you this. Even after being down here a couple of decades now, there's always something new to learn. And here's what I learned that night. Now, I'm sure you remember in past shows I told you the Latins are very, very superstitious. And, you know, even though the poor and middle classes seem to be a lot more superstitious than the upper classes, the fact is the upper classes still are quite superstitious, though they keep it low-key and behind closed doors. That said, here's what I witnessed in the kitchen that night. Right after midnight, one of the ladies spread 5 bowls on the table, one for each of the ladies present, and she gave me one too. And then another one put 12 grapes. They're called uvas down here. U-B-A-S. grapes in each bowl. That's 12. Now, as I watched that lady count out 12 into each bowl, I started eating one, and she said, "No, no, don't eat any of them yet, not until I tell you." So I stopped and waited for instructions, and one by one, these ladies picked up a single grape and ate it, all in unison. Then they stopped for a second, and a few of them chuckled and laughed a bit. Then they ate their second grape, stopped and laughed for a second, then a third, etc., etc., until they were all gone. Well, as it turns out, each of those grapes represents 1 month of the upcoming year, and every time you eat a grape, you're supposed to make a wish. Like, for example, you're going to have good health, or you're going to take a trip, or you're going to get a new car, or you're going to come into some money, or someone in the family's going to have a baby, or whatever. So how it works out is that that first grape is January, and that wish you make while you're eating it is supposed to come to pass in January. Then that second grape, whatever wish you make, is supposed to happen in February, and on and on. So that means way beforehand, you're supposed to make a list of 12 wishes so that you can keep track of them during the year and see if they really do come true. Now, of course, it's all BS to me, but I played along because, well, it's tradition. And I'm sure I was the first gringo those ladies ever played that game with. Well, the next thing these five ladies did is they dug into their purses and they threw out all their change on the kitchen table. Then they divided the coins up, 12 coins each. Again, one coin for each upcoming month of the year. So, after they counted out 12 coins each, they passed around little Ziploc bags to put their coins in. Then each bag took her bag and shoved it in her handbag. I mean, each lady took her bag and shoved it in her purse. Then one lady explained the rest of it to me. When you get home New Year's Eve, you take your little plastic bag with 12 coins and you hide it somewhere in the house. You don't tell anyone either. You hide it somewhere where you think no one's going to find it. And the time-held belief is that no matter how hard up you get for money throughout the year, you're never supposed to retrieve that bag, break it open, and use those coins. The superstition being is if you leave those coins untouched for the entire year, good luck and prosperity will certainly follow. But if you break into that little money bag for bus fare or whatever, your luck will really change and go downhill from there. Now, 99% of Latins who engage in this particular ritual never touch that money. Why would they? It's only coins, right? But here's the catch. If you haven't hid it well enough and somebody discovers it or it's moved, even if your cat finds it, all bets are off and you're going to have a terrible year financially. That's the belief, of course, and down here, you best not try to dissuade anyone of their superstitions because you'll put a real damper on the conversation, like telling a kid there's no Santa Claus or telling an illegal alien there's no American Dream or an old-timer there's no Social Security. Oh yeah, and another thing I learned from these ladies in the kitchen, and remember, these are upscale ladies, not maids and cleaning ladies, so-called muchachas, who have their own even deeper, more hilarious sets of superstitions. Oh, and by the way, when you're confronted with that kind of hoodoo, don't laugh. That's not nice. Anyway, another thing I discovered from these ladies is that from 12 a.m. New Year's Day to 12 midnight, you should never wear black. Not on any individual article of clothing, big or small, or you're going to have a pretty depressing year coming up. That one's not so far out. You can buy that one without cracking up. But here's one that really takes the cake. If you don't crack up just thinking about this, well, you don't have much of a sense of humor and I don't want to party with you, okay? Now, just know that getting one of these older ladies to spit this one out wasn't easy. In fact, she was embarrassed and turned a bit red while telling me this story. She said, "When you go to sleep on New Year's Eve night, if you take a pair of yellow underwear and turn them inside out and wear them all day and all night, January 1st, you'll have a very lucky and prosperous year financially." Now, here's the part I like. If you take red underwear, turn them inside out, and wear them all day and all night, January 1st, for the upcoming year, you'll have a fantastic sex life. Now, the thing is, if you go through that little red or yellow underwear ritual, you're not supposed to tell anyone what color you're using. And if anyone notices it or sees it besides you, the deal's off. In fact, not only is the deal off, but things work in the opposite direction. So, what's my take on this? Well, I'm thinking two things. One, why not wear both colors? Though, there is a problem. When you're in Walmart or Costco buying red or yellow underwear, isn't the checkout person gonna know the purpose of that stuff? Which would mean, of course, the deal's off, right? and worse. And when I brought up that sticky point to one of the ladies, she said, well, that's easily remedied. You either make or knit your own in secret, or borrow a pair from someone else's underwear drawer. Meaning, I guess, steal one or the other when the owner's not looking. Maybe, like expat Eddie says, you can start making the rounds of the laundromats. Skanky, I know, but it would work. So, all you green gringos and expats out there, just remember, next January 1st, if you're in Latin America and you catch any little flash of red or yellow waistband or butt crack action, whether you know it or not, and you know it now, you're going to cancel out some hopeful guy or gal's financial or sex life for the upcoming year. So then you might ask, is there any basis in fact or truth to this superstition at all? Well, if you have to ask that question, you're an idiot. Come on, of course not. But you really do have to give those Latins points for livening up the party now, don't you? And by the way, all this New Year's superstition stuff with the grapes and the money and the underwear and such, I found out that it's practiced almost exclusively by Latin women and gay guys. Your average Latin straight guys don't get involved. Now, it's not that they don't believe in it. They really do. It's just that performing such antics themselves runs counter to their usual macho streak. But then again, who knows what goes on behind closed doors? At least that's what I've been told by more than a few people down here, so no gay bashing emails, please. Remember, it's just the facts, ma'am, here. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. To which, maybe I should add the word ridiculous, too. So again, if gringos and expats down here keep their eyes open, there's never a dull moment. So, if you're face-to-face with that superstition stuff, try to laugh with them, not at them. Be nice. That said, let's change gears and move on to an email. This time, from some of my favorite emailers who call themselves the Hollowites. And I'll paraphrase this a bit here. Dear Johnny, after listening to almost 3 years of your archived shows, what we'd like to know is this. How people with above average intelligence who move down to Latin America can stay that way in a society of non-readers and people who really don't know much about what's really going on in the world. As you say, people don't read books and they don't put much quality time into learning English. It seems there in Latin America, people just don't sit around and chat about world events or talk about topics that are of great interest, like, for example, nutrition. So the question is, what do you, Johnny, do to stay intellectually stimulated? This is one of the subjects we've read about, a topic that other expats have had trouble with, and it is something we are really concerned about for ourselves, should we make the big move south of the border. You see, we too are big readers, non-TV watchers, who went to college, got degrees, and were really disenchanted with the corporate world. Even up here in the States, we rarely find someone who knows what's going on, wants to sit around with some coffee and discuss real-world things. In fact, it's hard to find people here who don't have the need to watch TV all the time to pacify them. Question, are we going to encounter the same kind of robot zombies down your way too? Now, we are confident that there are many self-employment opportunities, and we're definitely interested in that. Though, the question of intellectual stimulation is another area we're really concerned with. In fact, we have prepared a spreadsheet of all the other categories that are important to us. And the research we've done points to a positive in the areas of cost of living, dining out, weather, quality of life, and nutrition level of food, as well as chemtrails and local and long-range travel options. That said, would you care to reveal to us any input on the subject of your own mental and intellectual stimulation, or are all your social and enrichment needs met by your friend expat Eddie? Thanks ever so much, the wannabes from Tennessee. Okay, let's try to answer some of that stuff. First of all, about 50% of the people that come down to live down in Latin America from up in the first world come down to retire. At least that's what they report when people ask them. And not all of them are 60 and over, believe me. That said, let me say just a few things that I learned along the way. As you know, I've had many opportunities to watch gringos and expats succeed and fail. Now, do note that not everyone can succeed down here, though a very high percentage of gringos and expats do. And you know, the funny thing is, a lot of us long-term expats have a knack of spotting whether a fresh green expat's going to succeed or fail. I'm pretty good at it myself. I can tell right off the bat, after talking to somebody maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour, whether he or she is going to have an easy or hard time fitting in, socially or otherwise. And, believe it or not, certain people like expat Eddie and I, we're pretty good judges of whether a person's going to end up back in Cleveland in 6 months with their tail between their legs. First of all, I have to say that if you're not a flexible person, then don't come down. Now, I've noticed that the occasional gringo or expat I meet down here that is inflexible, many seem to have not made a good life for themselves up in the States or have had an unhappy life up there simply because they are inflexible. And do note that most people who are inflexible will tell you that they're not, which is part of the problem, right? So just coming down here to Latin America and having a change of scenery isn't going to make a person like that any more flexible or willing to adapt. That's a big problem. And here are a few more things I've learned along the way. Occasionally, I see long-term expats down here looking old and pretty much deteriorated, physically, mentally, and otherwise. They seem to be their own worst enemy. Well, that's because some people need to be entertained all the time. They just don't have any goals or hobbies. They're chance takers, or they wouldn't be down here, but they're just not innately curious. They just need someone else or something else to entertain them all the time. And sometimes that something turns out to be booze and drugs. So the people that don't seem to do well down here in Latin America are people who have a life without meaning, for lack of a better phrase. And that means when they were up in the States, they had a life without meaning too. And they're just looking for that pot of gold or end of the rainbow where there's a change of scenery and they might be better entertained. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. In fact, I have a few such family members up north in Illinois. And most of them, sad to say, are guys who are addicted to sports. Now, I may have mentioned this story before, so stop me if you've heard it. I once had a beach house in Costa Rica on the Pacific side, and my house was right next to a guy and a gal from Canada, a very nice young couple in their late 30s. And the guy just happened to have been a physical education instructor up at some public school in Canada, and now he was retired. You might ask, how can a lowly PE instructor from a public school up in Canada retire to Costa Rica to a very nice beach house at the ripe old age of about 35? Now, as it turned out, and I didn't find this out till much later, that, surprise, surprise, he'd won over $1 million in the Canadian lottery. Now, one day I was sitting on the porch reading, and his wife came over, and she actually had a little bit of a tear in her eye, and she said, "Johnny, I don't know what to do. My husband's drinking a case of beer a day. All he does is sit around and watch his 50-channel satellite TV cable sports networks and drink beer." Now, when she told me that, I didn't know they'd won the lottery. Bottom line, he wasn't a happy guy, but by all accounts, he should have been. Now, the fact is, over the year or two, I knew that guy. I can honestly say he was no dummy, but he had very little initiative. All he really cared about was sports. And in fact, he tried everything he could to get me over to his house and watch the games with him. And tried his hardest to get me to go to some of the local Costa Rican soccer matches. And I actually went to one and was bored out of my wits. And in the end, since he could not convert me into a sports lover, he kind of gave me the brush off because I couldn't and wouldn't converse sports talk with him. I just wasn't in that club and didn't want to be. Now, I'm in no way bringing this up because I was personally offended that he gave me the brush off. I really could care less. But I'm bringing this up because, you see, if you come down here like him and just completely depend on someone else or something else to entertain you, like for him it was sports, you're not going to be very fulfilled. You're not going to be a happy camper, especially if you're coming down to retire as a really young guy like he was. Oh, and by the way, that case-a-day beer drinking habit he had was made all the worse by the fact that the guy was about 135 pounds. He was what you might call a welterweight with a very explosive temper. And you know, the cure for what ailed this guy was simple. He just needed to be active. He needed something to do. But he wasn't a reader, and he wasn't a tinkerer, and he didn't play music, and he just was, well, in a word, boring. Well, you get the idea. And the fact was, back then, there was really no great internet to speak of in Costa Rica. And even if there would have been, he would have spent all his time searching sports junk, you know? Hey, teach his own. But what I'm saying is if you come down here, you can't have tunnel vision like that and you have to be flexible. Or you'll end up like him because beer is extremely cheap. And another thing I learned from people coming down here to Latin America, either retiring or coming down to start a new life, is that if you don't have some kind of a purpose, if you haven't got some idea to move forward, I mean, really, there are a lot of gringos who come down thinking, hey, I'll just go down for a while and bum around and see how it works out. Well, that's okay if you're a 21-year-old backpacker, but when you're 48 or 55, I don't know. So many times with that kind of attitude, you end up falling in with a bunch of like-minded gringos who also have that attitude. Now, that's not to say you can't come down here with a low-key, lackluster attitude and not have a pretty good life. You can. But fact is, most people like that, after 5 or even 10 years, end up knowing just the very bare necessities of Spanish. And believe me, if you don't eventually start mingling with the regular people down here, you're missing a huge part of the Latin experience. And you really only can do that after you've learned some Spanish. Plus, if you don't know Spanish, you almost always end up paying too much for everything. You're marked as a gringo and you pay gringo prices. Oh, and on that point, sometimes I get emails from people saying, I like your attitude, Johnny, but you sound like a real tightwad. To that, I say, I know not everyone's trying to go down to Latin America and live like a first world person on $1,000 or $1,500 a month. Some people I know get $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, even $10,000 a month in retirement benefits for however long that's going to last, right? And they don't care about haggling when they buy a house or rent an apartment or go to the fruit market. And you know, I get emails, especially from older people, say they'd rather not haggle. They feel funny doing that. That's not the way things worked up in the first world, and it puts them off their game and they really can't get used to it. Well, just to set the record straight, when I talk about haggling and trying to get the best bang for your buck, it's not because I'm particularly cheap. I mean, a toothpick has two ends, right? That means it's good for at least two different meals, correct? And toilet paper squares are cut at the factory in single-use individual squares for a reason, right? But I digress. Doing deals down here and selling things is much different than it is up in the States. People expect you to bargain a little bit back and forth. It's a kind of a game. A game, in the end, that both buyer and seller can win because you're both happy. That's pure caveman capitalism. You've got a shiny green rock and I've got a ripe avocado. Let's trade. But back to the main point. Now, you've probably seen some statistics saying that when people retire down to Florida or whatever and sit on lawn chairs outside the pool, when they've got nothing else going and they just sit on their dead asses, they only live 4 or 5 years after that. Whereas people who retire at, let's say, 60 or 65, the ones that don't sit back and who have put together a long list of things they've yet to accomplish, they live 20 years longer on average. And in most cases, they look and feel younger than the person who just sits around by the pool drinking. In fact, it's so very true that most long-term expats down here look much younger than their equivalent counterpart up in the States. That is excluding expats who just love being out in the sun. I mean, look at Robert Redford. In his prime, considered the most handsome man in Hollywood, and now, because he spent way too much time in the sun, his face looks like a pepperoni pizza. Now, of course, we grow older by the passing of time on a clock, but our real age, the way we feel inside and the way we look, depends on our state of mind, our attitude, our happiness, what we eat, what we do and don't expose ourselves to, what we think, and our immune systems, of course. Now, when some long-term gringo expat turns 50 and someone asks him or her how they're feeling at that age, often you'll hear something like this. I feel like I felt when I was 25 or 30, but when I look in the mirror, hell, I'm old. I don't get it. Something's just not right about that. And sometimes I'll hear that person say, maybe it's time to start slowing down. You know, I get up at 6 in the morning, maybe I'll start sleeping till 7. I know, I'll exercise 3 times a week instead of 5. That said, what I've found out in the long run, that's the wrong way to look at life. And it's the people who look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm 70 going on 50 or 60 going on 40. I must be doing something, right? So I guess I'll just keep heading down the same road. I'm going to do what I've always been doing. Seems to be working for me. And you know what? Take it from any long-term expat down here. They seem to get the same compliment over and over from friends and family up north. Namely, why is it that you look so much better than all the other folks up north who are about your same age? And you know, I get that all the time myself. So ask yourself, why do you think that happens so often to so many of us long-term gringos? By sitting in a hammock with a case of beer watching 50 sports channels a day? Don't think so. Now, remember, in that email I just read, the folks from Tennessee said they were having a hard enough time finding like-minded people to have really solid discussions with where they come from up in the States. Well, remember this. Nearly all the gringos and expats that come down to Latin America are curious and generally adventurous types. And quite flexible, or they wouldn't have jumped into the deep end in the first place. Fact is, nearly all the first world people that become expats are above average, I have to admit, with some way off the charts. And most have really done their homework. And that's why when I have my expat wisdom seminars, attendees report all the time that they've never seen so many like-minded people in one place, which is also one of the biggest complaints they have about their hometown or where they're living back up in the States, that they just can't find like-minded individuals to hang with. So what I'm saying is the lack of like-minded people back home seems to be a universal mantra. True, it's easy to find like-minded people on the internet, but come on, admit it. That's not nearly as much fun as sitting down face-to-face with someone and slinging mud and dung at the Obama nation over a couple of double espressos. But down here in Latin America, well, you don't have to look far to find like-minded people, that's for sure. Even well off the gringo tourist trail, you're going to find them. But believe me, like the email said, forget about finding like-minded Latins who are intelligent and well-read enough to shoot the shite with you. Oh, they're nice and happy and can be very intelligent, all right. But since they don't live in a Big Brother, alphabet agency, corporate fascist state, the things that really concern us first world folks are not on their radar. Though they really should be, because with that lag time effect, they'll eventually get here, right? That said, even though down here you'll be surrounded by uninformed, clueless Latins, if you're flexible and somewhat adaptable, you'll probably never get bored. So, if you come down here hoping that you're gonna do some of the things you weren't able to do up in the States for lack of money, time, or whatever, no doubt you'll have a great life down here, and like I said, you'll never get bored. Not only that, if you're like a lot of us expats, you'll never ever finish that to-do list because you're adding to it all the time. And in my case, the only dead, boring, and uninteresting gringos that I seem to meet, and you do meet them sometime, are first worlders who set up their new life on the gringo tourist trail. That includes, of course, gringos off the tourist trail who hang at expat bars and have exclusively gringo friends. Now, don't get me wrong, you will find like-minded people there, but they're more than likely to be boring people with a permanent case of tunnel vision.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.